Now, what is Moody's man? Not man, Moody's man. We're Moody's mamen.
Yep.
We're Moody's men. But this is about magazine on RTR.
Good morning, this is Nick Abraham here on Woodich Mag, joined here with Jodie Hoffman for another lovely hour of Woodich Mag and on this beautiful, beautiful, cool day.
Crisp day out there, isn't it?
It is, Jodie, yes. I believe Jim's away on an assignment again.
He is.
He's a lucky fella to be in an assignment. Must be in some warm place, I think.
Oh, I like the cool. I had the weekend in Victoria.
Oh, okay.
And went and spent my dad's 94th birthday with him.
Wow.
And caught up with my daughter and my grandson in Melbourne, and we had a couple of days at the beautiful Phillip Island and saw the penguin parade. So this is pretty warm compared with what I had in Melbourne.
Yes, it is a bit chilly, but never mind. You know, it's part of the second part of winter with Jilba. And, you know, we still have that concepts around, well, we're in spring now, things should be warming up, but the old Yunga season still hangs around and says, hang on, this is still the second part of winter.
And you've been a bit under the weather yourself, Nick?
Well, yeah, you know, there's so many different things, challenges that we have, and being under the weather is just another one for this time of year that, you know, we get bedridden for a little while and we got to get back up and carry on, because sometimes the body just says, sit down.
Yeah. Looking forward to the next hour. It's been another challenging time here in Western Australia. We saw the second child to die in custody at Banksia Hill last week, a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely horrific. You know, in Scotland, they've just started letting children out of detention. They're not locking them up anymore because it doesn't work.
What can you say, Jodie? What can you say? It seems to be a, you know, every platform's election platform's always on law and order and stuff there, and you're wondering, is it really helping? Is it really doing the stuff? Or is there another way? We know there's another way, but whether the system's ready for that other way, or perhaps they're just so used to this punitive process.
And I think, you know, we've just got to stop playing politics. It's about lives. It's about keeping our kids safe in care. The system is clearly failing. It's not doing that. And so we thought it would be timely today on the program to find out more about an organisation called 13 YARN, who are the first national crisis support line for mob across the country who are feeling overwhelmed or having difficulty coping. And they make time to listen to people's story. There's no shame. There's no judgment. It's a safe place to yarn. So I'm really looking forward to meeting the national manager of 13 YARN, a woman by the name of Marjorie Anderson, who was born and bred in Redfern in Sydney, and her mob's from northern New South Wales. And we'll find out more about her on the program today, mm-hmm. and find out how vital those services are for mob to just feel safe to talk about things that are troubling us.
Yes, and that's the key thing, is about having someone to listen to you. You know, have that voice where someone can talk about your issues or whatever stuff, and you're not judged. You're just sort of getting it off your chest. And for me, that's sometimes it's a real movement in the right direction if you're just able to have someone to listen to you for a change.
Mm. You know. So I'm looking forward to having a yarn with Marjorie and finding out all about her and the team. And they're also involved in some campaigns as well. So we're going to find out all about that today on the Moodich Mag program.
Welcome back to Moodich Mag here with Jodie Hoffman and Nick Abraham here. And online we have our guest, Marjorie Anderson. Are you there, Marjorie?
Yes, I am, and thank you for having me, Jodie and Nick.
You're welcome. Just to introduce you to our audience and our listeners out there, apparently there's a couple of 100,000 listeners out there that we keep being told that are out there listening to us, Moodich Mag, and all the other programs on RTR FM 92.1. But Marjorie Anderson, just let the mob here know on Yungar country, who's your mob and where you're from?
Right. I'm a Gamilaroi woman from northern New South Wales, but I was born and bred in Redfern, in the middle of Sydney, so I'm a bit of a concrete quarry.
Concrete quarry, love that. Love that. And, yeah, look, you know, life in Redfern would have been really interesting. So much culture, art. And, I mean, we all saw the series on TV, Redfern Now. Is that what it was like?
Look, it was like that a bit, but what that program really misses is, I think, the innovation that came from Redfern. I mean, back in my day, I was watching the generation above me fight for legal services and fight for, you know, health services and things like that. And, you know, our Aboriginal legal services and Aboriginal health services grew out of the fight that Redfern took up to government. So it was a really passionate place with some really strong Aboriginal leaders.
Yeah, look, and you know, those times were just such times of social change, weren't they, Marjorie? Because our Aboriginal legal service here in Western Australia turns 50 this year, and gosh, I don't know where we'd be without them.
I know. Well, that ages me then, doesn't it?
I think it ages us all. But Marjorie, we just really, you know, rapt to have you on the program because 13 Yarn is an extraordinary organisation that plays such an important role in giving a forum to our mob to have someone to listen to and not feel shamed. Tell us about the history of 13 Yarn, what it is and why it was set up.
Well, so Lifeline Australia, who underpinned 13 Yarn, worked with Gaia Dewey, which is the peak body for Aboriginal mental health, and decided that the only way they were going to impact suicide numbers in Aboriginal communities was to have a culturally safe line for Aboriginal people to ring. So I was brought on to develop that line. I had had 40 years experience working in co-development with the Aboriginal community in a number of areas, but I'd never worked in mental health before. And I certainly hadn't worked for Crisis Line before, so I was coming in a bit blind. So what I thought I'd do is ask the community what they want and then just deliver it. So I went out to the community and said, look, we've got this funding from the federal government to set up a line for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Tell me what you want it to be. Tell me what you want the vision to be. Tell me what you want the values to be, how you want it to look, how you want it to sound. What experience do you want Aboriginal people to experience when they ring the line? And I got all this feedback from the community, and I made sure I talked to the diversity of the community as well, because it was a national service. So I talked to remote, regional, urban Aboriginal people, LGBTQI+, stolen generation, people who had experienced out-of-home care, youth, elders, you know, people who have got a lived or living experience of suicide and its consequences, Aboriginal mental health professionals. I talked to everybody and anybody who wanted to talk to me. And so what I did is I took all this information and I put it back together and I went back to Mob and said, did I hear you right? Is this what you want? And a couple more tweaks, we started to deliver the service. And the service commenced in 2022, in March 2022. And we're just about, you know, 2.5 years old now, and we've gone well past 50,000 calls. I think we're nearly up to 60,000 calls now. Wow. And it's culturally safe. It's 24/7. It's confidential. We don't ask you any questions, and it's no shame and no judgment.
Wow. Up around 60,000 calls in 2.5 years is extraordinary. And I guess it's sad that there is such a need for that service, but I can't imagine what it would be without 13 Yarn now.
Well, that's right. We tell people, don't wait until you're in crisis to ring us either. Like, we tell teenagers, you know, when you get that icky feeling in your gut where you just don't feel right? That's anxiety. Give us a call then. Well, don't wait until you're in the depths of despair. But we do get some funny calls too, you know, like this woman rung up because her husband was driving her mad because he'd lost his job, and there was a forklift driver's job around the corner, but he didn't have his licence, so she needed help with how he could get his forklift licence. You know, we get calls like that as well, and we don't mind helping people with that either.
Yes, yes. That's a very interesting process of, you know, when people are in trouble and that anxiety is a very important part of, you know, people our mob, not wanting to know where to go to and where to turn to get these answers. But it sounds like, you know, 13 Yarn is a beautiful opportunity there to connect people. And just to, because sometimes I guess they are so wound up in their stories and their situation that they can't seem to think clearly. And I gather you would give them an opportunity to think clear and see options that are available for them that they can hopefully ease that anxiety.
That's right, that's right. If people need ongoing help, look, we sit and listen. And, you know, a lot of Aboriginal people say, oh, it's the first time I felt like I've been heard for a long time. We sit and listen and sit in your space. You are the one who is in, you know, needs the help, and you talk to us about what you need. And what we do, if people need ongoing help, we'll refer you to some, you know, culturally appropriate services. You know, if somebody needs ongoing counselling, or somebody needs some assistance with job seeking, or assistance with, you know, putting food on the table, we'll have a look at what services are available in the area that they want the services to be, and share those services with the caller.
Marjorie, I love that you say don't wait until you're in that crisis to call us, because you know that was a really anxious situation for that person to be in with the fork, you know, the forklift stuff going on.
Yeah.
But also there's that shame factor, isn't there? People don't want to put their hand up and ask a question because they'll think, oh, you know, maybe it's a silly question to ask, or other people will think I'm a bit, you know, not the smartest in the shed, you know. But I think that's the good thing, taking that whole shame away from it, where people can just ring up for a yarn and be respected for doing that.
Absolutely. And that's what we want to be, is to be the safe space and with absolutely no judgment. Doesn't matter what you tell us, you won't be judged.
Marjorie, I'm imagining that leading up to the Voice referendum earlier in the year, your calls probably spiked a bit.
Yes, they certainly did. And one of the things I was concerned about was the crisis supporters answering the phones. With the racism and the toxicity of the debate, I was concerned about their resilience and about their ability to be there for mob. So we set up a training program and with an Aboriginal organisation and really set them up for success with delving into how to not take on board other people's issues, like really sit in the space and listen, but then don't take them on board personally and develop some resilience around that. We also wanted to develop resilience around racism as well, like putting on your Teflon frock so it all bounces off, and also put in place some extra one-on-one social and emotional wellbeing support in case it's needed. And I will say that none of the crisis supporters reached out for that extra support, which shows me that the support, cultural and mental health support that we've got for our crisis supporters that we've got in place is suitable, even in times of crisis. So that was a good tick in the box for me. But the night of the referendum, you know, my team were all up till well after midnight, making sure that every call that came in got answered, making sure that our social media, the toxicity of you know, posts on our social media were removed immediately, all the toxic ones. And then the next day, on a Sunday, we're usually pretty light on with calls between 30 and 50, and we had 124 calls the next day. What people were telling us was that they were really disappointed. They felt rejected by the country, by their own country. They felt really disheartened. And they didn't want to talk to their relatives about it because they thought that they might trigger them.
Yes, that's always a danger, eh, with the re-triggering of our community and stuff, when we're hearing a lot of this negative racism stuff, especially around the Voice and, you know, some of the perceptions that community have out there of the, you know, the advantages that we get above other Australians. And that's very interesting when, you know, from where we look at it and think, okay, if only you understood and knew the difference or the real the real story around this process, because you might find that, hang on, we've had a lot of laws put in place to stop us from actually participating in the community and workforce and the likes for a long, long, long time, and we're still struggling with that.
Yeah. I'm still looking for my free house and my free car.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still looking for my life to be paid, yeah, and also the likes.
Paul Kelly sang about it, the special treatment, didn't he, that we receive. Yeah. And, look, we're chatting with Marjorie Anderson, who's the National Manager of 13 Yarn, the first national crisis support line for mob who are feeling overwhelmed or having difficulty coping. They offer a confidential one-on-one yarning opportunity with a lifeline-trained Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander crisis supporter who can provide crisis support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've had a lot of tragedy over this way, Marjorie, in our juvenile detention system. And we had 2 deaths of children in detention here in Western Australia in the last 10 months. It's distressing not only it's extremely distressing for that the children have felt the way they've felt, but for their families and communities. But the ripple effect that goes through the community is just terrible, because, you know, these children are in care and should be being protected and cared for. We just felt that because of what's been going on over here, it would be really timely to remind people about the services of 13 Yarn and to have them reach out, no matter how trivial or how serious they're feeling at the time.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I can tell you now, in the month of August, Western Australia was our highest callers of all the states in Australia for the very first time. So we know that mob over there are struggling, and all we can say is that we're here for you. We really are here for you.
Yes, and if our listeners are out there listening and they have some issues that they want to talk about in confidence, well, you know, give Auntie Marjorie a call there on 13 Yarns and hopefully lighten the load a little bit, or share the load, so that it gives you a bit of a chance to take that angst off you, or that anxiety off you, and give you a chance to breathe and be heard, but also to see some of the options that are available to you, because there are many out there. We just got to find those.
And we'll give all the details out for 13 Yarn at the end of our chat. But I wanted to talk to you, Marjorie, about the 13 Yarn and Drinkwise launch of a new campaign showing support options for mob wanting health. Now, you've teamed up with Richmond superstar Daniel Rioli, who fronts the new campaign. Tell us about the campaign.
Well, one thing that we like about the Drinkwise is it's not about, no, you can't drink, and it's not about abstaining or anything like that. It's about having a good time, but making sure you're responsible about it. And it's targeted at all communities. And we wanted to make sure that Aboriginal people understood that message as well. And we teamed up with Drinkwise to do that. We've done it, you know, with the rugby league over here, you know, that's more an Eastern States thing, isn't it? with their state of origin and things like that. Mm-hmm. And certainly teamed up with the AFL as well, and Max Rioli giving the message that, you know, if you feel like you need some help with that, or you feel like you've got a bit of an issue, 13 Yarn's there to help. And we can refer you to culturally appropriate services if you need ongoing services.
Yes, and again, that's another one of the key problems in our community, is that being able to drink wise, because of all the trauma that our community have been through and the likes, that they try to suppress their their trauma and stuff there through alcohol. And we live in a nation there that prides itself on heavy alcohol drinking and stuff there, but sometimes you should be able to understand your limits and be able to keep your sanity. You still enjoy it, but don't get too far involved that it hooks you up.
And don't use it to self-medicate. And that's what a lot of people do use, drugs and alcohol for, is the drugs and alcohol are not the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the self-medication, because you need help, and reach out for that help rather than self-medicate.
Marjorie, you said that before you got involved with 13 Yarn, you hadn't been in that space before. I mean, you've been in a lot of other spaces, from working at the Aboriginal Housing Office to Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority, the Department of Juvenile Justice, Tourism New South Wales, the Olympic Coordination Authority and the ABC. What has it changed in your outlook, or has it changed anything in your outlook, being so involved with 13 Yarn in a managerial position for the last few years?
Look, I don't think it has changed my opinion. I think I've always thought that Aboriginal people need specific or culturally safe support in this space. And I've done I said I've never worked in mental health before, but when I was in juvenile justice and certainly Aboriginal Housing Office, I did a little bit of training with neuroscience, and the way that ongoing trauma and intergenerational trauma changes your brain, and the fact that even when things get better for you, it does take a little while for your brain to be able to adapt to this better life as well. So you're still in fight and flight mode for a long time after a trauma. So, and it really makes you understand why people react the way they react, you know, when they've been in trauma. And it's really interesting. I'd like to get more into it, but I think I'm too old now to go back to university and study again. But I would encourage young people to really look at neuroscience. It's really interesting and really tells you why people act the way they act. You know, it's all about the brain, and it's all about trauma to their lives, which impact upon the brain. So I don't think it has changed my outlook or anything like that. And I just think I've never planned my career in my life. I always say the elders put me where I need to be when I need to be there. So obviously the elders wanted me here, and I'm doing what I can. But I always like to make an impact in the community wherever I go, and I do feel like I'm making an impact with 13 Yarn.
Well, it sounds like you hit the nail on the head there for me in terms of the elders of taking you through this journey that you're on, and that's sort of a common thing with our cultural learnings and stuff there, that we go with the flow into certain different places where we need to be at certain times to help, and we build all the stuff there. But we never lose any of that knowledge that we go on. We just take it to another level, and we just try to hopefully capture more of our community that needs these supports to try to bring them onto the same flow so that they can start to do their healings and understanding their traumas and stuff there so that they can live healthy lives.
Yeah, I've never planned my career in my life, and you know, white fellas love to plan careers.
True.
And they say, "Oh, look, we're having a career planning workshop." Okay, nah, the elders will tell me when I need to be out of here.
Marjorie, 13 Yarn has a fantastic website, and there's so much information on it, including fact sheets. And I'll just read through the list, because these fact sheets have information and assistance that people can use during challenging times. There's some of the titles are anxiety in mob, depression in mob, domestic and family violence, financial stress, grief, loss and sorry business, loneliness, psychotic illness in mob, understanding substance misuse, understanding trauma, and being worried about someone who you feel may self-harm. Really important topical areas, aren't they? And a shame that there's such a need for them, but great that there is so much information at hand on your website.
Yeah, and in the future, what we want to do is have more titles as things come to us, and also have some interactive self-help tools as well. So, you know, if English is your fifth language, you've still got somewhere to go and with a self-help tool rather than just a fact sheet with English words on it. So that's something that we're looking forward to developing in the future.
What else is on the future for 13 Yarn, Marjorie?
Well, we know that young people like to text and chat, and it's also a much better way for people in domestic violence situations to contact outside help. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at text and chat. In the near future. We've got a submission into government currently for that. You know, we want to hear from Mob. You know, if anybody's got any ideas on how we can better service the community in this crisis support space, please, you know, get onto our website and click on Contact Us and give us your ideas. We want to listen to Mob all the time.
Oh, Marjorie, it's been great to chat with you today on Mudich Mag and to find out all about the great services provided by 13 Yarn. And I take my hat off to all your support workers as well, because, as you say, you know, when services like this are developed by Mob for Mob, you know, it could be triggering at times. So you must have a really strong support process in place for the people taking the calls, yeah?
Yeah, we do. And they're the absolute backbone of our service. Absolute backbone.
So to any of our listeners who feel that they might be needing the services of 13 Yarn, let's throw over to you for the final word on what you can offer.
Well, we can offer you anything you need. So if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling sad, even if you're just feeling lonely and need a yarn, give 13 Yarn a call on 13 92 76, and we're there for you.
Well, Auntie Marge, thank you very much from 13 Yarns, and you keep up the great work, and we look forward to having another yarn with you sometimes in the near future, right?
Yeah, great to meet you, Marjorie.
And thank you for having me on your program.
Oh, anytime. Thank you. Thanks for your time. Marjorie Anderson is the National Manager of 13 Yarn, and that number again is 139276. 139276, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can talk with an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander crisis support worker. No matter how minor your problem, give them a call.
Well, welcome back to Mudich Mag with Jody Offman and Nick Abraham here. And beautiful little Thursday afternoon. We just want to say cheerio to our Noongar radio listeners out there and our great southern radio listeners out there as well. Where, you know, we're still thinking of yous, and that even though you be somewhere around in a metropolitan area or way down south in the cold, you know, we're still thinking of yous. But
We were talking, Nick, about feeling older, you know, finding out that the Aboriginal Legal Service is turning 50 this year, and that we're feeling older. That Yothu Yindi tribal voice song was off of their second album with the same title from 1991.
Oh, 1991. Where did the time go?
So 33 years ago.
Okay. We're just coming up on our Radiothon month, and there's a few little cheerios I want to say there too. Is that Halifax Advisory from Mailand? Thank you. Katrina M from Fremantle? Thank you. Alison W from Spearwood? Thank you. Mitchell G from Pemberton? Thank you. That's in the deep south. Well, south of Western Australia. And Nandy C from Hamilton Hill? Frederick S from Mailands? Megan... Oh, Lagan Media from Highgate? Chris W from Doubleview, Sally A from Bayswater, Laura B from Shenton Park, Gemma K from South Fremantle. Thank you for your contributions and your commitments to the Radiothon, and hopefully
keep sharing the love and the support of this amazing station, RTRFM. Radiothon ends on the 30th of September, and subscribe by 9 o'clock on the night of 30th of September to go into the major prize draw and support RTRFM, and you can subscribe at rtrfm.com.au.
Wow.
Oh, it's great to be part of this station, isn't it?
It is. It is. When we come in and we can have yarns like this, and you know, I can see something that you have very important in your hand that I'm very keen to try to see what you got there.
And I'd ask listeners just to bear with me. It's a little long, but it's an important open letter that was penned by Wayne Nanup, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia this week. And it was a call out to the WA government. And Wayne says the WA government has lost its social conscience. His open letter stated, "The Labor government has completely lost its way and in turn its social conscience in relation to its approach and attitude to young people in detention in Western Australia. The litany of dismissive and punitive comments about the behaviour of young people in juvenile detention before and after the tragic loss of two young lives in Unit 18 and Banksy Hill Detention Centre brings this fact into sharp relief. It began with former Premier Mark McGowan describing young people at Banksia Hill as terrorists after a series of disturbances at the centre. I'm not sure what the political aims of the young detainees were, but there is a fair chance that they'd had a gutful of being unlawfully locked up all day, every day. After Master Dodd died in October last year, Premier Roger Cook referred to Unit 18 as a necessary evil. Spare me. Since when has detention centre for young people run by the state been a necessary evil? Who on earth is the Premier listening to? Because that sort of language does not fit with the Roger Cook I know, at least before he became Premier. Not far behind the Premier is the former Minister for Corrective Services, Bill Johnson, who said in reference to Master Dodd's death that these things happen. Well, you tell that to the family of Master Dodd. To any fair-minded observer, Mr. Johnson's comments reveal a breathtaking lack of sensitivity and empathy which borders on the pathological. Then on the same day that a second boy died in detention, Corrective Services Minister Paul Papalia had the gall to say, "We know these kids are challenged." Not a skerrick of empathy there either, but rather continuation of this government's cold-hearted rhetoric demonising young people detained at Banksia Hill and Unit 18. This government bangs a drum around providing safe conditions for staff. Well, that's all well and good, but with two young people dead in its centres in less than 12 months, where is the recognition that the safety of young people in its care should be an equally high, if not higher, priority? If this government had a conscience, this issue should be above politics. As we move towards the next state election in early 2025, the dive to the bottom on law and order must stop. More fundamentally, politicians on both sides of the fence need to grow up and openly acknowledge their true responsibilities. If a young person has to be locked up, common humanity and decency requires that they be looked after, kept safe, and that everything is done to ensure that they do not die in state care. The price of breaking the law should only be the loss of liberty and not the loss of life. These tragic and avoidable deaths must never be repeated. Government must commit to transformative change, underpinned by proper social conscience that seems to have disappeared into the ether in recent times. So that was an open letter by Wayne Nanup, Chief Executive Officer of the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia this week.
It's a very powerful letter there, and you know, just sort of reflecting me on the first one of young Master Dodd. That's, you know, that's part of my family's. And I'm still working with the family, even though they're commuting from you know, way out to the Micarthur and that way back and forth and stuff. But I'm still commuting with them and assisting them with their supports of trying to get justice for something that happened that was should never have happened. And of course, with the latest young fella, and I don't know who the young fella is, but it still sends shivers through our community when we think, you know, is this another one of our family that we haven't heard of yet? But it doesn't matter, you know, if it is or it isn't. It's still a young person that have lost their lives in places where they should have been cared for and looked after. Ah, that was Electric Fields in Anupuru Mokotjabara, which is about the appreciation of the witchetty grub that is a companionship, which is a mini-milli, which is in the mini-milli community on the APY lands of the northwest of South Australia, which is around 640-odd kilometres south of Alice Springs. And it is a symbolic of transition, of movement between the witchetty grub as it turns and transforms into a moth. And it has beautiful meaning to it about transitioning. And sometimes I think, Jodie, we forget about, as humans, the interconnectedness that we have with the birds and the animals and the plants and stuff there, of that transition from, you know, little plants or saplings or animals and stuff there to their growth to the next stages of life.
Never eaten a witchetty grub.
Neither have I. I don't know why. Perhaps it was because we haven't found any around here, or that disconnect from the stolen generations and our culture, especially here in Yungar country, that you know, everything that was important to us was all of a sudden paganised in that sense, and we never got the opportunity. Having said that, you know, my family, one of our families, from my Warral family was always about the long-necked turtle, which is a very important food source. And of course, when my granddaughter went out the backyard last night, she came across a long-necked turtle in the back.
No way.
I think, oh, that's got some sort of significance. I'm just going to see what sort of happens now that that little long-necked turtle made its way across from the swamp on the other side into our backyard.
Well, that's a bit special, isn't it?
It is. Mm.
Oh, Nick, I don't know where the time goes on this program. We don't have much time left now, but I do want to thank Marjorie Anderson, who joined us from the Eastern States, the manager of 13 Yarn, and just remind you of that number again and some key points about 13 Yarn. It is a first national support line for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in crisis. They listen without judgment. It's confidential. It's anonymous. You're supported by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people taking your call. It operates 24/7 across the country and is accessible by any phone in Australia. It provides a culturally safe space and is led by an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander service management team. Their number, if you're feeling worried or no good or just want to have a yarn, give them a call. 1392 76 1392 76. Well, what's the next week holding for you, Nick? Busy back at work?
Well, very busy. It's always busy, but I'm just looking forward to Saturday's event in Perth here on Border Country, where Alex Woodward, a younger man that's fighting, an Australian boxer that's fighting for his world title.
I know. How exciting.
It is. And hopefully we'll be there in his corner or somewhere in the audience supporting him along, because he has connections to not only my side of the family but also the wife's side of the family.
And he's from down around Bunbury, is that right?
Yes.
He came out and had a yarn with everyone at the NAIDOC Perth Ball. What a smooth guy. Cool as a cucumber. And just such a lovely bloke, the way he came across.
So we're going to be in his corner and supporting him along in that sense, and hopefully, gives a bit of a real inspiration to a lot of our young people and our old people in that as well, because we're all connected in some way to this young fella.
Oh, Alex, we wish you all the very best. We'll all be in your corner screaming for you, so good luck with it all. It just makes you feel good all over, doesn't it?
It does. And it's sort of, you know, when we see our young people doing a lot of stuff here, and boxing's one of the rare sort of sports where you have to do a lot of the stuff by yourself, the hard work.
Yeah.
You know, we have the footy finals coming up this week, but coming from Western Australia, none of our sides are in the finals, not even my side, even though it's a Victorian side.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, we'll wait till next year for that. But
a lot of history with boxing in our mob as well, if you look back to the old tent boxing days.
Well, it was a part of a survival process.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at it, it's a part of a survival process, and sometimes it was the only place where some of our people can legitimately get money, because they had to fight for, you know, for that, basically for their meals, and the likes, and the old travelling showgrounds were, you know, very much where people went along there to, you know, I'm going to earn a few dollars here. It might not be much, but you might also walk away with a broken nose or whatever stuff there. But the challenge was always there to compete.
There's a great song by Paul Kelly about the old tent boxing days called Rally Round the Drum, and so many of our Aboriginal men over the years were part of those tent boxing days, and they'd travel around and be under the tent. And
well, they finished, I think, in WA around about the 1970s, early 1970s.
And it's not that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago, and I was only a 17-year-old when I was competing in that process.
You've done it?
Yeah.
Nick Abraham, you are a dark horse. You've been a tent boxer.
Well, I wouldn't like to refer it like that there, but we did compete in that process, and that was always, you know, part of our community's challenges to how we're going to get better. And we're looking at people up there that have been along on that journey. We want to be just like them. We want to try and implement them, but also exceed them in them, which is what young Alex is doing, you know, this week.
You're always pushing. You're just a surprise box, Nick, honestly.
Oh.
We'll have to have a yarn with you on another show.
Don't trick me into that one, like you did last time, Jody. Never mind.
Oh, Nick, thanks for having me on the program. And I think Jim will be back on board next week. And, it's been a lovely, lovely hour to spend with you.
Yes.
And we're going to go out with an amazing song, one of Jim's favourites, I think. Yulawiri, Wonderbal, The Rainbow Dreaming by Radical Sun and the gorgeous Emma Donovan.
Thank you, and looking forward to speaking to you again next week, whether it's either Jody and myself or Jim and myself or whoever, here on Mornich Mag. But stay strong, eh?
and stay safe.